And welcome in, Trailblazers courtside here on this Monday. Yeah, we're on the air.
And then I went. And
Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler with you. Wheels back from Vegas. The Las Vegas Summer League is over. And as you know, the Trailblazers point guard, Damian Lillard, named the co-MVP. No surprise there, fellas, with the way that he played. And all in all, a successful Summer League as Portland goes 4-1 in the Summer League. Rice and I were here to watch it all.
I was wondering if we were going to get on, Wheels and I.
I just had to set things up.
Oh, but right. you start with the person initiating things.
I'll tell you, it was an enjoyable, of all the summer leagues, I thought the talent was good. I thought everyone really...
The players were good, too.
I thought everyone tried to win, and the NBA has it going. How were the prices down there, Wheels?
Well, you know, it was Vegas, so but it's amazing how
Wheels doesn't do anything halfway.
No, I think you know, after not having Summer League last year, I think people were really revved up to have it again, and it didn't take much. I mean, the crowds came back, and it's such a great venue to have the ability to go from Thomas and Mack to Cox Pavilion and watch so many games over the course of a day, and so
now that last game that Lillard was supposed to play, well, not supposed to play, but there was a big crowd there. Were they expecting to see him?
Yeah, I think it was a disappointment, just as it was a disappointment in the first game when obviously everybody came, you know, see Anthony Davis, and he was part of the Olympic team, and so, you know, he didn't show up for New Orleans. But I think, you know, that was maybe, and we can talk about it, maybe arguably the Blazers' best team performance, the fact that the main guys weren't around.
Well, and here's a couple of more guys that were there. Chad Buchanan, Blazers Director of College Scouting, will join us at 6:15, and Chris Haynes, he was there from CSNNW.com, Blazer Insider. He also has some updated information, we assume, on the coaching search, because now that Summer League is in the rearview mirror, the next thing, head coach Mike Rice. And I know you and I had a spirited discussion on this subject as we were leaving the air on Saturday.
And I heard Wheels today substituting on a talk show that he was promoting Caleb Canales. So we'll talk about that during the show.
All right. Trailblazers courtside coming up on Comcast Sportsnet. And welcome in, Trailblazers courtside here on the Blazers Radio Network on Comcast Sportsnet and also streaming live on trailblazers.com. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, and Brian Wheeler with you. Wheels putting in a very long day after being the substitute host over on 750 The Game. Wheels, nice to have you over here.
Fellas, good to have you back.
You left the studio early to get here, I know.
Yes, well, I didn't want to be late. I would have been otherwise. But
I wouldn't have talked about you.
Not much. I missed you guys. Missed you guys in Vegas. I was thinking about you all week.
Oh, we saw you behind the.
Yeah, we saw you all.
It was a rare perspective because.
And then on Twitter we get all this. Who's next to Wheels?
Yes.
Just so you know,
young Leah. But the fact that we were doing radio, it was a rare perspective to sit behind the bench and kind of be able to kind of get the same vantage point as the players looking out at Caleb. And I'll tell you, it was fun. I mean, it felt strange. The games drag a little more when you're not calling them.
Yes.
I noticed that.
They drag a little when you are calling
sometimes,
them.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
Believe me.
But it was another great, you know, 4-1 effort, and I think even more so than that, I'm sure you guys would agree, development of the young guys, which obviously was of paramount importance.
I think the Blazers, Houston, Denver, there's about four or five teams that every year really put out a good product. They try to go out and get guys that can play. Whereas the Lakers, I can name about five teams. They just take names out of a hat and they go there and get. The Lakers got beat by 50 one game, and they don't care about it. Whereas the Blazers always take pride in putting out a good product, and we're going to talk to Chad Buchanan to see his points on this when we have him on.
And Wheels, you know, obviously when Rice and I were doing the games back here on Comcast Sports and all the Summer League games, it was clear the the player who had the place buzzing was Damian Lillard. What was it like down there as far as the talk among the, a lot of the media there and a lot of team executives? And, he was not only dominant in terms of getting to the rim, but also showed some range. And then, of course, he had the dunk of Summer League as well. Was the buzz down there about him as loud as it was back here?
Yeah, I think one of the national writers put out an article today and said there were 52 rookies and Damian Lillard. So, sometimes I think we think we get a little provincial in our thinking that we wonder if our opinion of someone is clouded by being close to the situation. So it was nice to hear and to see how many people were really, really impressed with him. I thought he had a tremendous amount of moxie and courage and determination, and you could tell that he didn't mind being in pressure situations, and everything that you heard about him was true. And I think as teams started, even in Summer League, trying to take some of the things away from him that he was able to do the first couple of games, he was very willing to be a passer in those situations.
You really saw Denver do that.
Yeah, I mean, and he's going to see quite a lot of that, and teams, as they get a chance to scout him and play him more often, are going to try to give him different looks, but it didn't look like anything on him.
His performance was so good, I'm hoping that it won't put pressure on him that we expect him to be that fabulous, because he's going to have the regular varsity guys around him now, and he's not going to be called on to do as much. But I hope the people, because I'll tell you, his – ceiling is right about there right now, the way he played in the Summer League. And he did, like you said, Wills, he showed poise. I mean, he took the right shots. He just didn't look like a rookie. He looked like a guy that didn't belong in the Summer League, because he probably could have scored more, but he didn't force anything. He just took it as it came.
And with all due respect to a Blazer of the past, I know people wanted to ask the question, what he did was not what Jared Bayless did in a Summer League situation. He showed a lot more capability, first of all, to hit a perimeter shot more consistently. He didn't score all those points going to the basket, yet when he got to the foul line, he converted, and he showed a great ability to pass the ball too. And there were times that even when he was in the game, he played some off guard too. So, and I think we're gonna see some of that. And again, the comfort zone of he and Myers Leonard in a short amount of time was very encouraging as well. So, the young man's only going to get better, and everything that was said about him and all the hype. I mean, he lived up to it for a week, and I think he has a calmness about him that I don't think he's going to let things get to him. And clearly, he's going to have some ups and downs as any rookie would playing that kind of position. But I think he's going to be ready for it.
Will Barton in the last ball game with Lillard not playing, and that was a guy that got more and more comfortable as the Summer League went on, and. The 40th pick, kind of a sleeper pick, people saying, really slipped. It was maybe the steal of the draft. He certainly did enough in those last couple of ball games to get a little talk going about him as well, and probably won't have the impact, when the regular season comes, that maybe Lillard will, being already the starting point guard for the Trailblazers. But do you see Barton getting rotation minutes at all, given his growth even through Summer League?
I think as people looked at the numbers ahead of Summer League, I think there was an assumption that, that he's probably going to be a candidate to get a lot of D-League activity. But, boy, the way he played, he showed a more consistent perimeter shot than I thought he had. And there were some times he made some terrific passes and good decisions.
Ran the break well.
Yeah, and so I think he showed some more versatility than to do some more things. And as he said, as it got more toward the end of Summer League, not only was he more comfortable, but in that last game, he played all 40 minutes, and without Lillard and without Leonard and without Babbitt, the Blazers blow out a team that had come in at Miami 3-1 as they did. So I think he opened some eyes too, just in terms of what he might be capable of, and that's encouraging, because he was maybe the guy that you didn't expect as much, but maybe we should start hoping that he can deliver as well with some activity in his rookie season.
Well, and Caleb Canales had said before Summer League that he treats these games as regular season games, and clearly he did as far as the preparation goes, and showed an adjustment. And maybe the most impressive he was, as we before we go to break, as Mike Rice said in the last game, was to do it with a whole new cast and to get that team playing together and playing well and playing efficient basketball, a group that hadn't really played together, said a lot not only for those players but a lot for Caleb Canales. So we'll talk more about the coaching search later in the program. Coming up next, however, Chad Buchanan, Blazers Director of College Scouting. He was at Summer League. We'll get his impressions, and we can get yours as well. Send us a message on Twitter if you'd like. Hashtag TB Courtside. Best way to do that. Trailblazers Courtside continues right after this. Welcome back, Trailblazers Courtside. Now, Summer League in the rearview mirror, and a lot of the attention will turn to the coaching search for the Trailblazers. And we will be here on Trailblazers Courtside to give you the latest, if there is breaking news, at some point. And maybe this is the week, maybe it's next week, maybe it's not for a couple of weeks. There are a couple of vacancies still in the NBA, and we'll see when those are filled. Mike Barrett back with Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler as Trailblazers Courtside continues. And joining us now, the Blazers Director of College Scouting, guy we haven't talked to in a little bit, Chad Buchanan. And I don't think Chad minds that we haven't talked to him in a while. How you doing?
Good. I hate to say it. I don't really miss you guys, to tell you the truth.
You know what? Look, before we get into the Summer League and all that, talk about your role and how things have changed now with Neil Olshey in running things and, you know, difficult circumstances for you, as we have talked about. You did such a great job in handling it and having such a great attitude, and those that work around you realize that and appreciate that. Is it been maybe a little bit more of a stress-free role the last little while for you, being you aren't out in front and you're able to do really the kind of stuff that maybe you loved more than that other stuff?
Yeah, I think that's very accurate, Mike. You know, my true love is being in the gym, evaluating players, and, you know, filling in as the acting GM. Obviously, I had a lot of help around me, but it kind of takes you away from, you know, that aspect of the job. And I really miss that. I miss being out around, you know, other personnel from other teams and not around coaches, around players, and just watching the game. And it's been, you know, a lot off my shoulders having Neil come in and take over, you know, all the duties that come with the GM, especially at such a busy time for us with, you know, the draft and free agency and the coaching search and Summer League. So it's been, you know, a lot less stress for me. Neil's done a great job of coming in, and it's been very seamless, you know, transition. You know, we had a lot of the same opinions on players in the draft and in free agency. So there wasn't a whole lot of butting heads, I guess you could say, on personnel. So that's been great from that standpoint.
Now, you were probably looking at coaches before they made the general manager announcement. How far along is that coaching situation?
I don't think Neil wants us to comment on that, Mike. You know, we've definitely made, you know, some steps, some progress, but we still have some work to do on that front. And, you know, it was, you know, something we had, you know, before Neil came in, we'd given, you know, kind of compiled a list of names for us to consider. But, you know, we still have some work to do and some ground to plow through before we have our coach in place.
We all know the games don't count, of course, but a 4-1 Summer League, and considering the hope that you guys all have for the three young players that you drafted in June, I'm guessing that you had to be all smiles in terms of what they were able to accomplish in their first games against other NBA-type personnel.
No doubt about it. You know, all three of those guys had their moments. You know, Damian obviously was very good. You know, after a little shaky first half, that first night against New Orleans, he really, really settled down, and you could just see his confidence grow with every game as it passed along. And just very, you know, great temperament to him, which you want from that point guard position. You know, he handles the ball with confidence. He can shoot it. You know, he was better at attacking the rim than I think a lot of people thought he would be. We knew he was a strong athlete. He's got great body control. He can take contact around the rim. He makes good decisions. You know, he's got to get, you know, improved defensively, you know, to guard some of the starting point guards in our league. Obviously, Summer League is a step below what he's going to see, you know, come regular season. But I thought Damian fared very well. Obviously, being co-MVP kind of reflects that. And then Myers, you know, young, big, he's going to have his ups and downs. And we saw that over the course of, you know, a week of practice and a week of games. And he's going to have his moments where he, you know, he really looks good because he's got such a good motor. And when you're 7-1 and that big and you play hard, you're bound to kind of impact the game one way or another. And, you know, he's just got to kind of mature, you know, emotionally too. He kind of tends to let play kind of get under his skin a little bit, and that'll come as he matures. And I think Myers has got a bright future. And then obviously Will finished very strong the last two games, and, you know, he's just a guy who's an activity, energy guy who he never wants to be standing still, you know, whether it's, you know, getting into passing lanes or, you know, he didn't rebound the last game, but that's kind of the strength of his at Memphis. And obviously he shot the ball well the last game and flashes to the paint. And he's one of those guys, you know, when you're playing pickup ball, you don't want to be guarding him because he's never standing still. You never get a playoff guarding him.
Coach Rice brought up a good point a minute ago, Chad, talking about Damian Lillard. You know, at times you want to be noticed, and we had talked about how the AT should be getting some attention at Summer League. Did he get maybe too much to the point where there will be some added pressure on him come the regular season, or is he a grounded enough guy to take this all in stride and understand that it is, as you said, is a different level once the regular season comes?
Yeah, I think he earned some respect, obviously playing as well as he did, but he also, you know, I think you guys hit on there, he's going to have a little target on his back heading into the season as well, because it can be a humbling game, our league is. And, you know, the good thing about Damon, he's got a great perspective. He's very humble himself. He's going to continue to work. I think he even felt like walking away from this week that he's got some areas he wants to improve on. And he's kind of one of those guys who, he doesn't listen to people telling him how good he is. He's waiting for that one guy to tell him he can't do this or he's not good enough at that. I mean, that's one thing that we've noticed in doing all of our background work on him, is he's a guy who wants to prove everybody wrong, and he doesn't listen to the people telling him how good he is, which is a great trait to have.
Myers Leonard, you were talking about him. You know, he's going to have his ups and downs, and there's no doubt about it. Playing that position is a physical position. Does he need someone like a Joel Prisbilla to mentor him?
Yeah, I think, you know, a veteran who's kind of been through it, whether it's another player in the locker room or a coach, he definitely is going to need that, Mike, because he's, you know, he's got a lot to learn, you know, as far as positioning, how to use his body. He plays with his upper body a little bit too much, which is, you know, that's going to cause him to be a little bit foul prone, a little off balance. You know, the really strong, powerful guys in our league, they play with their butt and their lower legs, and, you know, they're in position before you're in position. And that's something that Myers is going to learn over the course of time as he develops. And, you know, having somebody here, like I said, whether it's another player or a coach around to show him that and kind of guide him through that, is going to be very, very critical to his development.
Injury update, Nolan Smith appears just a scare more than anything else. But if you could update everybody on the situation for him recovering from a concussion. And then Blazer fans understandably get nervous anytime they hear about a big guy and a knee injury. Maybe an update on Joel Freeland's situation and him being sent home with hopefully precautionary situation with his knee.
Sure. You know, Nolan, obviously that was a very scary moment for all of us. You know, seeing a guy drop like that when they don't really reach to the floor to brace themselves is very scary. So, you're afraid for the worst when something like that happens. But luckily, you know, there's a concussion, which obviously isn't a minor injury, but it could have been a lot worse on how it played out. And Nolan's going to have to take about 2 weeks. The doctors want him 2 weeks of no activity and really kind of taking it easy. And I think Nolan said August 4th, he hopes to be cleared to resume activity. So he's going to have to take it easy here for a little bit. And then Joel, we spoke with his agent a little bit today, and it sounds like, you know, from what his agent feels, it was just a case of tendonitis. It was more of a precautionary thing with Joel's knee, and sounds like they're going to send him back to rejoin the Great Britain national team. And, you know, that's just from the information we got from his agent. We didn't speak to Joel directly, but that was what his agent communicated to us today.
Chad, a couple of moves that, you know, didn't make huge waves and maybe not the sexiest things in the world, but, you know, getting Jared Jeffries, getting Sasha Pavlovich when you guys jump into a three-team deal, which was great for the Trailblazers, getting cash out of it, no guarantee there. You can do what you want with him. A couple of second-round picks in a draft where you didn't have any second-round picks. And then Ronnie Price. Can you touch on those three moves quickly?
Sure. You know, they are pretty minor moves, but they're also accumulating, you know, and, you know, the New York trade and the Boston trade, we accumulated some assets and some second-round picks, a young player from Greece, Kostas Papanikolaou, who we kind of liked in the draft.
I'm glad you said that, because we didn't know how to say that.
And, you know, obviously we got some money in the trade as well with Pavlovich. And, you know, Jared Jeffries is a veteran who can come in, hopefully provide, you know, some good leadership in our locker room. So, you know, very, you know, for the most part, minor moves, those two, but we did accumulate some assets. And then Ronnie Price is a guy, you know, we were looking for a third point guard. We wanted a veteran guy who would, you know, provide some mentorship to Damian and Nolan. Ronnie and Damian are already very close. They worked out together and they communicate a lot with each other. And that was a real natural fit. And Wesley had played with Ronnie before. And, you know, Ronnie is a very bulldog on-ball defender. You know, he's small, but he's a tough kid who's going to guard. He's going to run your team. He's not going to, you know, he's not a spectacular offensive talent, but he's going to do the things you want, the little things you want from the point guard position, and hopefully provide a good, you know, stable mentorship for Damian and Nolan.
You know, I didn't notice, but coming back to the coaching search, was there some kind of date that you wanted to have somebody in position, or is this going to be an ongoing thing for a while?
I think, you know, I can't speak for Neil, but I think we just want to make sure we get the right person. You know, that's more important than, you know, putting a timeline on it. You know, and that's kind of where we're at right now, just going through, doing our due diligence on candidates. And, you know, when we find the right person, you know, whenever that might be, you know, we'll make that final call. But I don't think, you know, Neil wants to rush through it. He wants to make sure we get the right person for our team.
And lastly, Chad, it'll be fun watching international ball leading up to and into the Olympics with Victor Claver, who I think they played tonight against Australia, Joel Freeland, and Nick Batum. And I got a chance to spend some time with Nick when he was back here to meet the media after his physicals, and he is so happy to be back. And, you know, I know, a relief for you guys to get that one done as well.
Absolutely. You know, Nick's a big part of our future. He's, you know, we've invested 4 years of his development, and he feels at home with Portland, and, you know, love the fans, love the people here. And he was excited to kind of get that behind him and move forward now. And obviously, you know, we're going to have some more expectations on Nick. You know, the pressure that comes to perform when you sign a contract like that is natural. And he's aware of that. And, you know, hopefully we see Nick make some growth this year and over the next 4 years. And obviously Joel Freeland and Victor Claver over in the Olympics is an exciting thing for us as well, because those guys are excited to become, you know, Trailblazers. And I think they, you know, they sense that this is a great kind of springboard into the NBA season, you know, having the opportunity to play in the Olympics. So we look forward to seeing all three of those guys here coming up.
Brian Wheeler has that same expectations when he signed his last contract.
So. You know, we've seen Wheels kind of put it in coast mode, haven't we? He hasn't really
at
stepped
times
up his game like we'd hoped. But
this summer, he's rededicated himself this summer, and I know that come the regular season, he'll play up to his contract.
I hate to peak too early.
Wheels is a max player in my book, so.
That's right.
Thanks, Chad.
Chad, thanks for joining us. Nice to hear from you again, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Chad Buchanan, the director of college scouting. I have to look down at his title. It's odd not to call him the interim GM anymore. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Still to come, Chris Haynes from ComcastSportsNet.com. He'll have some more, and maybe be able to answer your questions a little bit more, Coach Rice, on the coaching search, as he has been working the phones, as he always does, and his contacts in, you know, trying to track who the Trailblazers are targeting to be their head coach. We'll take a break. Back with more after this. The courtside hat makes its way to Paris as Zippy in Paris. When was that, Zip? Not too long ago? Last month, wow. Putting the Trailblazers cap on top of it.
That could be where in the world.
Could be.
I meant to take a – I should have put the cap on a slot machine.
Oh.
In Vegas.
And now you
I had it with
you. Won on your triple diamond, your beloved triple diamond.
Started out way ahead.
Did you give it all back?
Finished barely ahead. So it was.
But you did finish ahead.
I did a triple diamond,
huh?
$900 triple.
Because as Coach Rice always says, it's not what you win, it's what you keep.
Well, right, and that's good for him to say that. he's believed that for all these many years with lovely wife Kathy.
Right, exactly.
He won a lot, and he's kept her.
Yeah,
she hasn't won a lot.
She loses.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I don't know if she'd say the same thing.
You asked the question of Chad about Joel Prisbilla, and we've gotten that question a lot from a lot of Trailblazer fans who would love to see Joel, of course, back again and think that he would be the perfect mentor for Myers Leonard, you know, and today, and we'll ask Chris Haynes about this in our next segment when he comes on. you know, that reports that Milwaukee, for obvious reasons, that's where Joel lives in the offseason, that's where his wife is from, that's where his permanent home is. It makes a lot of sense. You know, and I mentioned during our final game when we were getting all the questions about it, you know, wondering whether or not he would come back at all. I think it's pretty clear that he is going to come back somewhere. And the Trailblazers, the roster is at 15. But as I mentioned with Chad, you talk about Pavlovich. They have flexibility. If they want to create a space for Joel, they can create a space for Joel. Coach Rice, do you see that happening? And do you see a huge need for Prisbilla? And maybe is this team in a situation where he would want to come back to a squad in this kind of a mode?
You know,
We know how he feels about Portland. That's not a question.
You know, as far as winning and losing games for the Blazers, I don't know if Joel fits into that like he used to, blocking shots, rebounding. But when you have a young center like Myers Leonard, and he needs, in this NBA, you need someone to show you how to use your body, how to get ready for games, how to set picks. We just watched the highlights there of Joel setting two tremendous picks. I think he'd be the best thing in the world for Myers Leonard to really find out about the NBA. His growth pattern would be so much greater with a guy like Joel around. Now, as far as winning and losing games, I don't know if Joel will help us anymore like he used to, but you know that you've got to measure all of that.
What do you want, a bigger role, Wheels?
Well, the other thing is I think he would be like Ronnie Price was brought in as a guy that would be content to be a backup to the guy you want to be your star at that position. And if he plays 10, 15 minutes one game, maybe no minutes the next game, he's still going to help out and he's still going to mentor.
Are you
think Joel would
win
be the same?
Games?
I think at this point in time, you're developing players and hoping to win games in the process. So you're not necessarily going to bring in a guy that wants 25, 30 minutes at a position where you've got a young guy. I think the one difference is Lillard will start from day one. I don't think Leonard will start from day one, but that doesn't mean that you don't want somebody there to help him, and I think Joel would be a perfect guy to do so.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Chris Haynes from CSNNW.com will join us. He was in Las Vegas, and he's been all over the Trailblazers coaching search. We'll pick his brain when Trailblazers Courtside continues, powered by Pacific Power, as always. Well, welcome the newest Trailblazers to Rip City. Purchase season tickets for next year today and meet our 2012 rookies, including Damian Lillard and Myers Leonard, at a private Rip City United event this offseason. The offer available for a limited time only. For details, visit trailblazers.com or call 503-797-9600. Welcome back. Mike Barrett, Mike Rice, Brian Wheeler, now being joined by Chris Haynes, good friend of ours from CSNNW.com. He was at the Las Vegas Summer League. While he was there, not only covering Summer League, but also the Nick Batum situation that got resolved eventually, and the Trailblazers coaching search. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks for having me.
So did you win in Vegas? Did you gamble? What did you play? The casino dominoes? What is your game?
Mike, man, nah, man. I work too hard for my money, man.
That's right.
Be giving it up like that, man. I'm not a gambler, so Vegas is not really my type of element. But, you know, I saw a lot of it, and I've seen – it's funny, when you get off the airport, you just see so many people – just with their eyes lit up with so much expectations going into Vegas. And then when they leave Vegas, you see everybody head slumped down. And I feel good about, you know, what I accomplished in Vegas.
I wish you would have been able to talk to Wheels about that little something, because I don't know. He hasn't been real happy these last 2 days.
But Damian Lillard didn't leave Vegas with his head down. You had to be impressed with what you saw, just like everybody was, I'm sure.
No, I think he exceeded expectations. He did what he was supposed to do down there in Summer League. And, you know, I was getting a lot of tweets back, as I'm sure you guys were as well, questions asking, well, what's the difference between, you know, Lillard's Summer League performance and Jared Bayless? And, you know, I just talk about the versatility that Damian Lillard, you know, presented there. When he played the pick and roll well. He played on the perimeter. He drove, he penetrated, and, you know, as we've seen, he attacked the basket for himself and had that spectacular dunk against Vincent of the Atlanta Hawks. But as well, he penetrated, looked for his teammates. So he just did it in a variety of different ways. And I think you had to be impressed with, you know, not that the fact that he did dominate the game, but how he did. He just looks like a kid who's older than what he really is. And, you know, I'm looking forward to covering this guy. I think the guy can be special. I think he can fall right in that group with the, you know, young, dominant point guards who have came into the league the last couple of years. I think he can be that special.
All right. Who's he going to be special for? What coach is going to be having this guy in the future? Or, did you get an interview down there? Or what do you hear? What's the rumors now about the coach?
Well, you know, before I went to Vegas, I was sold on Brian Shaw being the guy. And I still, at the end of the day, I still think Brian Shaw makes the most sense, the whole Oakland ties, Damian Lillard and whatnot. But, you know, coming out of Vegas, man, I'm not as sold on Brian Shaw as I was going there. I just heard some things that didn't sound too great for his candidacy. But I still think he's a strong possibility.
Now, that's, you know, that's not coming from agent talks that are trying to promote another guy. You know, down in Las Vegas, they spread those rumors, oh, he's terrible at interviews. You're not getting caught up with that, are you?
No, I'm not. And I'm not, you know, I heard this, you know, what you hear as well. I did hear that. But at the same time, like I said, I still think he has a legitimate shot of getting the head coaching job. But yeah, some of those rumors or what did pop up down there. I'm not sure how much, you know, that's going to play into when they actually pick their candidate. But you know, I'm just not sure, Rice. You know, like you know, I hear it just as well as you know as you do. But you know, I still think he has a shot, and I still think Mike Malone has a shot, and you know, Jaeger, assistant coach from Memphis. The more that I research him and I ask some people about him down there in Vegas, I'm starting to feel more comfortable about his candidacy as well. So, you know, I don't know who's the clear-cut favorite. You know, I'm just as confused now than I was before I went to Vegas.
So as you try to come up with the names of outsiders, why not the guy who has the job already? Why not make it simple and just stick with the guy that apparently – I mean, I've seen teams that have very experienced head coaches, and you can't necessarily go from 1 to 12 on their roster and find every guy endorse one coach. And yet on this Trailblazers team, every guy says that's been around, we want Caleb Canales to continue as head coach. What would be wrong with that?
And I have kind of taken on that approach as well, Will. Before the Vegas trip, my mindset was, well, why give Coach Caleb Canales the job right now? And if he has a terrible season, fire him, and then his career is stained. And then it's going to take him, you know, that much longer to get another head coach job. But I was told, you know, people, you know, down there that said, hey, well, if Caleb Canales did get the job, he will have a 3-4 year window to prove himself regardless. So I feel more comfortable knowing that. I feel more comfortable with the fact that if he did get the job, knowing that he would have some sort of security to prove himself and not just, you know, be somebody that they plug in temporarily, let him go, and his career is staying. Because I believe he can be a great coach. He's a great young mind in this business. And I want to see, I want nothing but the best for Coach K. So if he does get the job, I just hope that it will be some security for him to where he'll have a chance to prove himself.
Chris, how do you know, Wheels mentions that, and Coach Rice and I talked about that during the last Summer League broadcast on Saturday. When all the players are saying that, is that something that, I mean, how much weight does that carry? You know, when the coaches are all giving an endorsement that is as loud as any I have ever heard, is that enough, or is that, you know, do people look at it and say, well, the players don't know what they want. Why should we take their opinion into account at least fully in this case and hire a guy? Or are you a guy who says, hey, one of the biggest hurdles that a coach has, a young coach, is to get his players to believe in him. And if these guys clearly already do and already buy into his system loudly, is that enough to put him in the job?
I think so. I wouldn't say it's an overwhelming deciding factor of hiring him, but Yes, I think it speaks loudly, the fact that not just one or two, but the whole team embraces, you know, him being their next head coach, on from the star LaMarcus Aldridge down to the, you know, the last player on, you know, on the bench or whatnot. And I think it is a factor, because you have to look at, like you said, you know, one major hurdle is having the players believe in you. So if you have a player, I mean, if you have a coach in Coach K, and we all know his story, how he came up with the organization, and people, not just people, but the players in the organization respect how he conducts himself, they respect how he got to where he is right now, and, you know, the players believe in him. And so, yes, I think it is something that, you know, Neil O'Shea has to weigh and say, hey, man, that's, you know, we already passed one step. You know, he got the players believing in him. Why not? And so that's why I do, like I said, leaving Vegas, I have a little bit more of a comfort level with Coach Caleb Canales, you know, getting the head coach job. Not that my comfort level by any means anything to this organization, but I feel more comfortable with, you know, Coach
Chris
got the job.
You're not
support.
You're not that powerful yet, Chris. You're moving up.
No,
very
not.
Close.
You're
man.
Moving
very
up.
Very close, yeah.
But you're not there yet. Now, how about if a name like Mike D'Antoni, all of a sudden, he says he's taking a year off, but all of a sudden his name popped in. How would you feel about that? Would Caleb be better as a guy that mentored under a guy like Mike D'Antoni, or is he ready for the big time?
Well, you know, I think they would have to consider it. I think he would deserve an interview. He's a big name. He's somebody who has his resume speaks for himself. So I would have to see if D'Antoni's style would fit this. Neil O'Shea would have to see if D'Antoni's style fits this roster composition. And but yeah, to answer your question, Rice, yes, he would deserve an interview. I would grant him an interview. I'm not sure, like I said, at this point right now, I'm not sure if you just plug any coach in right now at the head coach. I think Coach Caleb deserves a fair shot just as well as anybody. And I would just, you know, I would have to, I think Neil then would have to see where D'Antoni's mindset is and what he thinks about this roster and go from there.
What's Chris, your comfort level, with Neil O'Shea? What's your comfort level in terms of newcomers? How are you feeling in terms of how you got along with him? And what do you sense that the rest of the local guys are thinking about the new GM?
probably a little bit of mixed emotions if you talk to, you know, each local media member down here. But I'm still trying to figure them out myself. I think a lot of people are as well. You know, he's somebody who's come from Los Angeles, so he's used to probably a bigger contingent of media. And so, I would say this. We're all just trying to get used to the guy, and he seems like a, you know, great guy. People that I've talked to, even down in L.A., especially my guy Brad Turner down with the L.A. Times, I spoke with him a lot about him. And, you know, he's a guy that you got to get used to is what I'm told. And so for me personally, I still have to figure him out. I really can't make a clear assessment on what I think about him because I haven't sat down with him enough and, you know, to pick his brain. But I'm hoping to do that pretty soon. But I think as far as the business structure, what he's done so far, I think you have to like what he's been able to accomplish thus far.
All right, Chris. Thanks for the time as always. We'll continue to follow your stuff on CSNNW.com. We look for you Thursday night on Comcast Sportsnet on Talkin' Ball. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Chris Haynes, our guest here on Trailblazers Courtside. We'll take a break, continue this conversation when we return on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. Full afternoon. Holy cow, look at the size of that fly. For those of you watching on Comcast Sportsnet, we're being attacked at the Rose Garden. We're down below there. Thank
you. That looks like my bedroom.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Tell you what.
The crew tonight, Adam Willis, our producer, Phil Beard, the director, Greg St. Martin on video, John McConnell on graphics, Corey Griffin in audio. Curry and Zippy are in here on cameras tonight. Where's Buck tonight? Brewfest?
Yeah.
Bruce Williams, the
big
engineer,
money.
Justin Molder, online coordinator. Yeah, right. And beer. And Rich Patterson, the captain, back in his quarters, not too far from our locale here. Nice job, as always, Cap. I want to thank Chris Haynes and Chad Buchanan for coming on the program. You know, we continued the conversation, and, we were going to talk about the coaching search a little bit on the program, but you and I got into this in the fourth quarter of the game on Saturday, and all of a sudden you start throwing this stuff around and talking about it. And Wheels, you are definitely under the impression that the question I asked of Chris Haynes about how much weight should the players' opinions carry when searching for a head coach, and Coach Rice on Saturday, you said none. You don't trust the players. You don't. They don't know what they're talking about. They're out for themselves.
They have other agendas.
Okay. What is the other agenda? What would be the other agenda then for them coming out for Caleb?
Because Caleb has always been there for them.
Okay.
See, as an assistant coach, he has been there for them. You want to open the gym at 2 o'clock? Caleb's there. You know, so they trust him. Now,
but isn't that what you're ultimately trying to gain with a coach is trust? And
no,
and I'm going to jump over walls for this guy.
Yeah, no, a head coach sometimes has to decide, like Krzyzewski. You know why he's great? Because if he sees
his players love him.
No, they hate him. If he sees a 10-man roster is no good for playing in the Olympics and he's got to cut it to 7, he cuts it to 7. Now, those 3 guys he cuts out because it's a national media attention, they're not going to go and bash the Olympic team in the U.S.
So this is the old argument of saying, should a parent be a parent or a buddy?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're saying.
And Krzyzewski is not a buddy. He's a parent that looks out, all right, we're not going to win with a 9-10-man rule. All the guys in the U.S. team are great. You know, Kevin Love could probably go in and do a great job. But if Kevin Love takes time away and has the chemistry away from the front 5, then Kevin Love doesn't play in the Olympics. You know how many minutes he's going to average? About 8 or 9. Why? Because it's hurting the chemistry. And a guy like Krzyzewski can do it.
So, Wheels, can Caleb be both?
Well, and that's what I wondered about, and the very thing you're saying. I knew that he was a buddy to the guys as an assistant coach, but I asked enough people in the time as the interim coach that he had at the end of last season, could he be tough when he had to be? And they said, oh, he has been. He has been tough. And so I think, and when you're talking about Krzyzewski being liked, there may be guys that don't like him, but I bet they all respect him.
Yes.
And I think
it's a different thing.
I think in Caleb's case, there will be a lot of guys that like him, but there will be everybody will respect him. It's because of the way he goes about his job. And a perfect example at Summer League in the first game, if you guys remember, late in the game, the Blazers have the lead. Myers Leonard comes up with a rebound, and he tries to outlet the ball, and he throws it out of bounds at half court. The Blazers call timeout. They go over to the huddle, and before Caleb starts talking to the team, he turns to Myers Leonard, and he says to him, everybody could hear it, and he just says, next time, just hold the ball and find a guard. And he nodded his head, and that was fine. That's all he had to say. He didn't browbeat him. He didn't do something that embarrassed him, but he got the point across, and then he went and talked to the team. And I think these guys respect the fact that if he has a forceful message, he'll get it, and he'll get it across. But I'm telling you, I think we keep trying to come up with reasons not to give him the job when maybe we should be focusing more on reasons why he should have the job, and I think there are plenty of those.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Right. All right, we'll take a break. Come back and wrap up this edition of Trailblazers Courtside here on Comcast SportsNet, the Blazers Radio Network, and trailblazers.com. All right, welcome back. We've kind of moved into a discussion on the coaching search, and we've talked about Caleb Canales like we did on Saturday during the last Blazers Summer League game. This is our final segment of this edition of Trailblazers Courtside. The staff then, all right, we shouldn't assume, but if Caleb Canales does get the job, how vital would a staff be? And Mike Rice, what would make the best assistant coaching staff for Caleb Canales?
Well, you know, Caleb, it's a young team. So you have to have, like, That's why I thought Dan Dickow would be perfect with Caleb on the same coaching staff, because Dan Dickow, you know, the eyes light up of Nolan Smith when Nolan Smith talks about my improvement with Dan Dickow, you know, and that's the kind of staff he's got to have. A young, he doesn't need a lot of older guys with X's and O's. He needs one guy, but the rest, high energy.
But like Wheels, as you said during the break, sometimes you bring in some younger aspiring coaches and there's politics that need to be.
Sure. I think Dan Dickow would be great. I think young guys like Caleb that are willing to be in the gym at 2 in the morning are helpful, but yeah, at least one guy that could be a mentor, father figure, counsel type guy, that would be great. And I hope Caleb has a chance to pick that kind of staff.
Well, we'll continue to monitor the situation. That's the next big thing coming up now that Summer League is behind us, and it was a great Summer League for the Trailblazers. We want to thank Chad Buchanan, the Blazers Director of College Scouting, for joining us, and also Chris Haynes. For Brian Wheeler and Mike Rice, I'm Mike Barrett. Blazer fans, talk to you next week on Trailblazers Courtside.